Christ. Daniel chapter 7 here this morning. Daniel chapter 7. I'm enjoying my study through Daniel years ago. I mean, it's early 90s. I preached through the book of Daniel. And I'm enjoying going through this now that I don't have the cloud of dispensationalism clouding what how I interpret prophecy and all that. But notice here, Daniel chapter 7, let me just give you this brief summary. Chapters 1 through 6, we have more of a historical and personal context as far as the book of Daniel. But then also in chapters 7 through 12, then we have more of a prophetic emphasis. And even as we see here in verse 1, it says, in the first year of Belshazzar. So chronologically, obviously, this is taking place before chapter 5, because Belshazzar, of course, was conquered and killed in chapter 5. So chronologically, it fits before chapter 5, the end of Belshazzar's reign. But you notice here, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. So notice he's teaching even from prophecy, not only writing it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but also is telling the summary, in essence, of the matters of this prophecy. Now, again, as you notice here, Belshazzar, one of the things I did not mention in chapter 5 is that Belshazzar was named after the Babylonian god Bel, B-E-L. So notice again, this idolatry as far as Babylon is concerned. It's very interesting. In 1854, Sir Henry Rawlinson found an inscription of King Nabonidus referring to his oldest son who reigned with him. As I said in chapter 5 in particular is one of the chapters that Bible critics, you know, love to attack the Bible, because supposedly history doesn't confirm these things. Well, just wait a little while and then you will find some of these things. And in 1854, Sir Henry Rawlinson found something about that. In fact, Jeremiah 27, verses 6 and 7 talks about Nebuchadnezzar being God's servant. And also it says his son and his son's son. So as we understand, Belshazzar would be the end of the Babylonian kingdom, Babylonian empire. It says here in verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Notice here this conflict that's mentioned here in verse 2. It says, Daniel spake, and notice this is teaching as far as this prophecy that was given to him. And it says, he saw in his vision by night. And it says, behold, the four winds of the heaven, talking about the four directions. All right, so from four different directions, the winds of heaven, notice, strove upon the great sea. Now, the great sea, you could think, well, maybe it's the Mediterranean Sea. I believe the interpretation of this is found in Revelation 17, where it talks about peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. I believe this is talking about the sea of humanity. Even as you look at Revelation 17, interprets the sea that way. So we're not talking about a sea of water. We're talking about the sea of humanity. So as we think about the fact that these empires rise up from the sea of humanity, and even as we think about this, there's four beastly kingdoms that he's going to see here in this vision and this prophecy. Verse 3, it says, four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. For example, Babylon did not come up from the Mediterranean region. They conquered some nations and kingdoms in the Mediterranean region. But again, that's why we see that the sea is the sea of humanity and not of, you know, a particular sea. Notice these four great beasts coming up out of the sea of humanity were diverse one from another. So these four beastly kingdoms, and I believe the beastly aspect here emphasizes that all of them were tyrannical and oppressive. So we see these empires of the Gentile world would oppress even God's people, the saints of God. The first was like a lion, had an eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, the second, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, notice me back in chapter 2. I'll remind you what the initial prophecy of these kingdoms said here as far as this prophecy, this vision, this dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 2 verse 36. This is the dream. And notice we, not just Daniel, we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Right? So Babylon is the head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass. Right, so the silver was an inferior kingdom, Medo-Persia. The third kingdom of brass, Greece, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Right, so verse 41, is, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, a part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. All right, so the 10 toes we're going to see are 10 kings or kingdoms. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, democracy, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, back in chapter 7, notice again these four beastly kingdoms. The first was like a lion. And again, this is Babylon that's heading for a fall here within this time of Belshazzar. It says the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. That's very interesting. History has proven that King Nebuchadnezzar had statues of lions and eagles in Babylon. Why is that significant? The king of the beasts, the king of the birds. I mean, it seems like he loved decorating Babylon with lions and eagles. So it's very interesting that God prophesies this, a lion with eagle's wings. Again, this is Babylon. It says, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. All right, so God was going to start reducing this kingdom, in essence. And it says, it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. It's interesting, Psalm 9, verse 20 says that the prayer is given that God would let the nations of this world know that they are but men. It's very interesting, King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 finds out that he's just a man, and he's under the authority, the power of Almighty God. Notice a man's heart was given to it. It says, behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. That's Russia, obviously. No, it's not Russia. This is God's prophecy as far as these nations. It's like a bear, and notice it raised up itself on one side. All right, so obviously two sides of a bear. All right, so it says one side raised up higher than the other. I believe this is the Medo-Persian Empire. Persia became stronger than the Medes. So notice it also has three ribs in the mouth of this bear. Three ribs, they say, represents the kingdoms of Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt. Those are all kingdoms that that Medo-Persia conquered. Notice it says here, between the teeth of it, and they said, thus unto it rise, devour much flesh. Medo-Persia became a very large kingdom. In fact, if I remember right, what did I say a week or two ago? That it actually went from India to Ethiopia. That's the Medo-Persian Empire. It was a huge empire that they conquered as a slow-moving bear. Also, verse 6, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Wow, that's a strange creature. Again, these are symbolic. Right? So a leopard is very swift, but notice it also had four wings on it. So this leopard moved swiftly. In fact, it's very interesting in history that that's all proven true. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in 6 years. You think about it. In fact, he drank himself to death because there were no worlds to conquer. He had conquered everything. But notice it says here, the beast also had four heads. Wow, that's a strange-looking beast. And dominion was given to it. Well, we understand from history that when Alexander the Great died, the Grecian Empire was divided into four sections under his four generals or captains. So notice again, we see very true, history proved this prophecy to be accurate. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Obviously, this is the Roman Empire, and there was a thing that they called the Pax Romana, Roman peace. Yeah, you know how they kept peace? You rise up against us, we're going to squash you. We're going to beat you, we're going to subdue you as with an iron fist. So that's the Roman Empire. It had great iron teeth. We're going to come back to that one in a moment because Daniel wants to know more about it. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among these 10 horns, another little horn, before whom there went 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. I believe speaking great things in defiance of God. But again, we see here this Roman Empire, and he's going to come back to that here in a few verses. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, I believe this is God the Father, did sit. Notice the thrones, these kingdoms, these empires were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit upon the throne. We're going to see this elsewhere in this chapter as well, this Ancient of Days. Again, God is the everlasting God. He's the eternal God. But notice how he's described here in verse 9, whose garment was white as snow, purity, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, speaking of wisdom. It says his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. I want you to notice Ezekiel chapter 1. Hopefully we have time to look at a little bit of this. I want you to see something about these wheels here. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13. Ezekiel saw some of this in relation to this similar types of things revealed here. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13. For as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. All right, so they had a fiery appearance about them. It says it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So can you imagine being Ezekiel and seeing this scene here? The living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Right, so we think about the storm. I slept through the wind and rain last night. I woke up this morning, everything was all wet, and there's garbage out in the front yard and everything. It's like, wow, I slept totally through it, I guess, last night. But now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth. Notice, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And the Bible also talks about the chariots of God being thousands and so on. It says here, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And it says they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I remember a kid's song that Tennyson Ernie Ford sang years ago. Ezekiel saw a wheel way up in the... this is what that song's taken from. Whoever sings it, I mean, this is where this song is taken from. It says, their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of the wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. They brought terror as they looked at it. It says, the rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, notice the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Again, this is the same thing that Daniel is saying, but Ezekiel gives us more detail. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Whither was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, and the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And again, that gives you an idea of what Daniel is seeing here. But again, we see God's glory, majesty, His holiness, His wisdom, and even His wrath as it's pictured here. God is a consuming fire. It says in verse 10 of chapter 7, it says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him. Notice this carefully. Thousands. All right, so a thousand, plural thousands. Sometimes this is described as myriads of angels ministered unto Him. Notice, first of all, thousands are ministering unto God. An exact count is not given. It says 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. I'm assuming stand before Him to carry out His decrees and His orders. Literally, that's 100 million, 10,000 times 10,000. It says the judgment was set and the books were opened. That's a very clear picture to Revelation chapter 20, when it says the books are opened. So Daniel is seeing something that is going to take place in the future. Not just these kingdoms, but even beyond these four kingdoms, these four beastly kingdoms. Of course, God is a righteous judge. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me see. Let's look at a little of the context of what I want for us to see here. Notice here it says in verse 5, which is verse 4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your churches, plural, by the way, not church. There's a lot of opportunities God could have introduced a universal church, but He doesn't. It says here, God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Notice this, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. We're going to be in God's presence, His glorious presence forever. They are not going to experience that. They're only going to experience His wrath and judgment forever. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and notice to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Notice again this fiery stream that issued forth from His throne. Verse 11, it says, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words, which the horn, notice the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Wow, that sounds like Revelation 19. I want you to notice here, Daniel is a very important book to understand the prophecies of Revelation. Again, we see here, till the beast, some call him Antichrist. The Bible actually calls him the beast more than he's called the Antichrist. It says his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. He and the beast and the false prophet we see in Revelation are going to be cast what? Alive into the lake of fire. They're actually going to go to hell, go to the lake of fire before Satan himself does. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Notice there's no dominion left to them. We don't have the Babylonian Empire today. We don't have the Medo-Persian Empire today. We don't have the Grecian Empire today. Their dominion has been taken away, but they have not been judged as other empires have been. The actual judgment will be later. It says, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Notice, and they brought him near before him. Notice also Revelation chapter 5. Again, these are very clear correlations as far as Scripture. Right, so we have the Ancient of Days seated upon his throne. He's white in majesty and glory and wisdom. And we see one like the Son of Man comes up, walks, is introduced to the Ancient of Days. It says here in Revelation 5 verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. All right, so this is the Ancient of Days seated on his throne, according to Daniel. And notice a book is written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, one like unto the," what did Daniel say? "One like unto the Son of Man." Again, that was a title that he received. And by the way, that's not a human title. That is a divine title from Daniel. "Weep not." Notice, "the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof." Here's the messianic titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man is a messianic title from Daniel. It says, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So notice this representation of the completeness of the Holy Spirit. And so he came and took, that's not the fullness of the Spirit, by the way. See, there's tongues and all that. All these seven spiritual gifts. We're not talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about the seven spirits of God. It says he came and took the book out of the right hand. Notice again, Daniel. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The Ancient of Days gave the book, the scroll, to the Son of Man. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So how many odors have we added here recently to those odors? Again, that's worship before God. They're using the prayers of the saints in worship before the Ancient of Days. Are we adding to those odors? They sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Back in Daniel 7, again, it says they brought him unto the Ancient of Days. Again, we see here this picture that we see prophesied in Revelation 5. "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him." All people, nations, and languages should serve him. "His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." I want you to notice a couple things here. First of all, it's very interesting to note in this chapter, you do not find one specific reference to the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. I believe that's very significant. It's not going to just be Israel as far as the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Notice again, it says all people. Notice this kingdom included all people, nations, and languages serving him. In fact, it's very interesting. I read here recently that everyone's going to say, such and such person was born here. Such and such person was born here. I want you to consider all nations are going to come to Jerusalem and worship the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne. But again, there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Notice, which shall not pass away. It's not just a millennial kingdom. Here's the confusion that has come because of misinterpretations of Scripture based on hyper-dispensationalism. Dispensationalism, whatever. The emphasis made on this millennial kingdom and nothing about the eternal, everlasting kingdom. His kingdom doesn't end at the end of the 1,000 years. They're going to try to overthrow him according to Gog and Magog. In fact, how is it that the foundation of the church, the apostles, are going to rule the 12 tribes of Israel if the church has nothing to do with the nation of Israel? Again, God is trying to make into one two groups. God's people. And again, the emphasis in this chapter is on the saints of God. It does not specifically say Israel. I believe that's very significant. It says a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. It's not just a millennial 1,000-year kingdom. It's going to be an everlasting dominion, everlasting kingdom. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign forevermore. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Here he sees these four beastly kingdoms, and all of a sudden he's troubled. Just like we might be troubled if we pay attention to the news too much. This kingdom's rising up against this kingdom. Israel's battling with, you know, the Palestinians again. Nothing's new under the sun. I mean, new president. I mean, it continues to happen. But you think about Iran. Oh, what about Ukraine and Russia? All of these things, kingdoms. I mean, this has been going on for thousands of years. What's new? Daniel was grieved in his spirit as he considered these four beastly kingdoms. The visions of my head troubled me. And let me just say this. Sometimes the trouble comes, the grief comes, because we don't understand. And so Daniel does what we should as well. Go to God and ask for understanding. I came near unto one of them that stood by. I said, go up to this angel. Who of you would walk up to an angel? Can you help me understand this vision? If we really understood what angels look like, we would probably with fear and trembling do it, like Daniel, or like John, I should say, in Revelation, and ask him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Notice understanding for a proper interpretation. There are so many far out things as far as prophecy. We have to be careful to not have our private interpretations regarding prophecy. In fact, let me just say this, John Hagee and, I mean, Wilkerson, I mean, all of them who have emphasized prophecy, you look at their doctoral position because they over-focused on prophecy. They went off into false doctrine in many cases, most cases. God did not design it for prophecy to become our focus. There's other things that he wants us to understand. Says these great beasts, which are four kings. Right, so here's the understanding, which shall arise out of the earth. Again, this is the sea of humanity. They're arising out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. I believe this is an allusion to something like Jude 14 and 15. The saints of the Most High. The saints are going to come back with Jesus Christ, and we're going to rule and reign with him. We're going to overcome the ungodliness. Four times the word ungodly is found in Jude verse 15. Notice the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. God told the church we're going to rule and reign with him. So notice here again, we're talking about not just Israel. We're talking about the saints of God. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Notice it's emphasized. It's not just a 1,000-year reign. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. All right, so in particular, he wants to know more about this fourth beast, which was diverse, was different from all the others. Exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Again, ruling with this rod of iron, this Pax Romana. It says, of the 10 horns that were in his head, notice, of the other which came up. So he wanted to know in particular about this one other horn. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things against God, whose look was more stout than his fellows. He had a more formidable look about him than the other kings. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, not just Israel. All right, so this beast, this little horn, by the way, he's pictured as a little horn that comes up. He's going to think he's big stuff, but he's a little horn in God's eyes. Just you know, give him a few years and he's going to be gone. But notice it says he made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Notice until the Ancient of Days came. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The Bible says we're going to judge the world with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Just wait. God's going to be in charge someday. Lord Jesus, come quickly. That's our world is a mess today because of these, the same type of thing, beastly kingdoms. People want to establish these kingdoms of power and oppression. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. And notice it shall devour the whole earth, a global empire, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And let me point out here, as we go through this last part of this chapter, there's absolutely, absolutely no mention of a treaty with the nation of Israel. Absolutely no mention of a treaty with the nation of Israel. That is hyper-dispensationalism. That is a false misinterpretation, as we have already seen from Daniel 9. There's absolutely nothing here about a treaty with the nation of Israel. It says the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Again, plucking them up by the roots. Now, this is just my idea. What are these 10 kings? Hal Lindsey always thought that it was, with the late great planet Earth, said that it was, the European Union, 10 nations. Well, the problem with that is there's far more than 10 nations in the European Union now. Obviously, that's not the interpretation. I'm not saying this is the interpretation of this, but I'm convinced years ago as I came across this organization called the Club of Rome, they have plans to divide the world up into 10 regions. The Club of Rome, they have maps of areas. North America would be a region, South America would be a region, and so on. The plan is for 10 regions, and I can easily see that a king would be placed over each one of these regions. I'm not saying that's the interpretation of this, but it's very helpful to understand what probably is going to take place in the last days. Probably 10 kings are going to be set over these regions. Notice there's going to be one king that rises up again above the others, and notice he's going to subdue 3 kings. I don't know if they rebel against the little horn or what, but it says he shall speak great words against the Most High. And notice he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. I believe that's an indication of constant oppression. It says, and think to change times and laws. That's not hard to understand. They're trying to change times and laws in our nation. Tyrannical, oppressive governments will try to change times and laws. All right, so changing times. I don't know what all that is an indication of, but changing times. You're not going to be able to meet on a particular day of the week and all those kinds of things. But notice it says, they shall be given into his hand until, notice this, very carefully, until a time, one, times, plural, two, and the dividing of a time, half a time. How much is that? 7 years or 3.5? So much for this idea of having tribulation and the great tribulation. As I pointed out in our dispensationalism exposure, months ago, there is no such phrase found in the Bible, the great tribulation. I typed in those 3 words. Those 3 words do not exist in the Bible. It talks about great tribulation as an affliction, but there is nothing as far as this 3.5 years of great tribulation, the great tribulation. It's not there. That is man's interpretation. But notice here, he's given power for a time times 3 and half a time, dividing of time. 3.5 years, not 7. Let the Bible speak for itself. The judgment, notice that phrase there, the judgment shall sit. And they shall take, notice, they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about this. And the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the most. Notice, not Israel specifically. The people of the saints. We are included in this. And let me just say this. Thus we shall ever be with the Lord. If the Lord's going to rule and reign on the earth, how can we be still in heaven if Jesus is Christ here on this earth? We're going to always be with the Lord. Obviously, we're going to be here ruling and reigning with him. Again, there's so many different problems I see now with dispensationalism. As you read, let the Bible speak for itself. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Psalm 103, verse 19 says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He's prepared it in the heavens. And literally, as we see New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven in Revelation chapter 21, we're going to see that he's going to rule and reign from New Jerusalem. That is the eternal Mount Zion. What is Jerusalem today? It's like Sodom and Egypt. I'm sorry, but Jerusalem now is not going to be the answer to God's dominion here. It is a wicked, wicked city today. You can't even preach the gospel freely there. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations. How many of you used that word recently? I had to look that up to make sure I understood. I'm pretty sure I thought, but I want to make sure, you know, Webster's 1828 confirmed what I thought. It speaks of thoughts, meditations, contemplations. Notice, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. He was so overwhelmed by what he saw with these four beastly kingdoms. He says, I kept the matter in my heart. He started meditating and pondering upon these things. And of course, we're going to see more about that in detail in the chapters ahead. But I want you to consider these four beastly kingdoms. Can I remind you as we tie all this together? Acts 17 says that God rules over the nations of the earth. God literally has set the bounds of their habitations. In fact, it's interesting. It says it was given to the little horn for a time, times, and half a time. It's given to him only for 3.5 years. As soon as those 3.5 years are up, it's going to be over. Of course, Satan is trying to use this as his last effort, one of his last efforts to conquer God. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word. Lord, Daniel wanted to understand the prophecy, the visions that you gave to him. And Lord, help us to not fear as far as the things going on in our world today. Lord, all these things are coming into place, like you said, 2,000 years ago and even beyond as we consider Daniel. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to not live in fear. But Lord, I pray that this would motivate us to realize that our time is short. As we understand prophecy, our time here is short. The Lord Jesus could come at any moment. Lord, help us to be prepared, help us to be ready, and help us to be telling others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.